Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to introduce a subject, then go back to the lines. The lines are alive. I'll get to you in order. Do not hang up. We talk a lot about the Senate race, about the governor race, about a lot of races. Let me tell you, one of the most important races that's going to determine the direction of this state for 10 years will be the Supreme Court race. Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Pat Rogensack is up for election next year. She's announced she's not running for re-election. There'll be a primary in February to narrow it down to two candidates. And then in April, there'll be an election, and that person will serve for 10 years. They'll serve till 2033. So be very aware of what's going on. There's two things I want to talk about. The race itself, we have an outstanding candidate who has declared, Judge Janet. Judge Janet Protasiewicz of Milwaukee. She was an assistant DA in Milwaukee for 24 years. 24 years. Prosecuted every kind of crime. Very firm. Tough prosecutor. Very fair. His great demeanor as a prosecutor and as a judge. Then she became a judge. She's one of the top judges in the state. There's a Trump supporter going to announce against her. One of these guys who would have not certified the election for Biden, even though he won it. You can't have that. Not on the Supreme Court. We already have three justices who said they would not certify the election. We're lucky that Brian Hagedorn stood tall and he certified the election. And there's a Dane County judge, a perfectly fine person. I don't know him at all. But Judge Janet, keep that in mind. She's a hard worker. She really knows the law. Very, very tough prosecutor. And she has said in her opening remarks, we are not going to have anybody tamper with our democracy. We absolutely have to have her as a watchdog on the court, Judge Janet Protasiewicz. Now, I mentioned Brian Hagedorn, and I want to give you some fascinating statistics before we go to the lines. There's seven justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and a number of their rulings are 4-3. There are three Democrats and three hardcore Republicans who vote in a block. The Republicans usually to upend our democracy, the Democrats to uphold it. And Judge Hagedorn, Brian Hagedorn, who's a Republican, but a very thoughtful guy, knows the Constitution, will occasionally vote with one block and the other. And here are the statistics. In the 4-3 rulings, Hagedorn is in the majority 85% of the time. Among the Democrats, Jill Karofsky, 62%, Ann Walsh Bradley, 54%, Rebecca Dowd, 54%. On the Republican side, Rebecca Bradley, 54%, Rogensack, 46%, Ziegler, 46%. But Hagedorn, 85%. What does that mean? You're yawning, you figure, oh, a bunch of numbers. That means that Hagedorn is the deciding vote of some of the most important cases that have come before the court. Because when he votes with one or the other of those groups, that is the majority, that's the majority that wins. 85% of the time it has Hagedorn on it. Kind of like John Roberts of the U.S. Supreme Court, there are nine justices there, and before Amy Coney Barrett was appointed, that was a 5-4 court too. Now it's a 6-3 court. And Roberts would occasionally vote with the four Democrats, occasionally with the four Republicans, and his vote was it. Well, Hagedorn is the guy. In a tough case, it depends what Hagedorn thinks. And frankly, with Pat Rogensack retiring, it's essential, in my view, that we elect Judge Janet Protasiewicz. Because Judge Janet Protasiewicz has more prosecuting experience than anybody who's on the Supreme Court right now, much less anybody who runs against her, which isn't even going to be close. And when she is on the Supreme Court, then when Brian Hagedorn rules as he does, it'll be 5-2, or it'll be 4-3 in the other instances. So this is a shout out to two people, primarily Justice Janet, Judge Janet, Judge Janet Protasiewicz, but she's known as Judge Janet. Very, very good judge. Very good prosecutor. Very good fighter for our democracy. And Brian Hagedorn, who I believe has cast deciding votes to uphold our democracy, he's not up for re-election for 7 more years. I think it's 2029, right around there. But when he runs for re-election, I'll tell you what, that is somebody who deserves support. Okay, we go to the lines in order. We'll start with Mark of the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. Mark, what's on your mind today?
Well, first off, you know, kudos to the caller that was talking about loaded weapons in the vehicles, because I started deer hunting back in the day when your weapon had to be fully encased and unloaded when you're transporting your weapons around, especially for hunting. I mean, you can't shoot, you know, closer than 20 yards with, you know, from the center line of the road. If memory serves, perhaps, you know, Walker chains that, because that came under Walker, that we could drive around, you know, because deer hunting from the road is illegal anyway. Unsportsmanlike in the second place. It's just disturbing that, you know, Republicans seem to forget all the rules of good sportsmanship, in addition to the rules of actual firearm safety. That it is just deeply disturbing. As far as threats, you know, if CJ considered what was said about the whirlwind was a threat, it was not a threat, a physical threat. It was saying that this is the political thing that's going to happen. It's going to unleash a firestorm politically, as far as the Roe versus Wade decision is what it was referring to. Because, you know, that, and perhaps, you know, I fall into the same thing sometimes, but sometimes it's better to keep your mouth closed rather than open your mouth and say something and remove all doubt that what a fool that you are, that to paraphrase Twain. And he may have been paraphrasing somebody else, but I mean that's a, you know, relatively famous saying that he said, that sometimes it's better to keep your mouth shut. And I don't know how when CJ finds time to listen to conservative radio, because he seems like he's calling in all the programs that I listen to from, yeah, you know, throughout the day. You know, that the Devil's programming and the Tom Hartman, and I've heard him on. Try to call into Stephanie Miller too, I think, on occasion. But I mean, it is. That's it.
Yeah, Mark, I want to respond to, you're making some very good points, and let me respond to a couple of things. The Republicans do have people who are essentially tasked, and their employees in many cases, with just calling in to liberal or Democratic stations and trying to get their point of view on. Because if a liberal or a Democrat calls into a Republican station, a right-wing radio, talk radio, they're not getting on. They screen them. They'll say, what do you want to talk about? And if they let them on by accident, they yell at them and cut them off. I do not do that. And I think Misko Paul made the point, and you and others have made the point, that CJ spends his day calling in all of this. I have no idea if this is part of a Republican thing. But I'm of the view, I want people on this program to hear both sides. If you have, if you're a conservative, you can feel free to call in. Obviously, I'm not going to let you talk all day. I don't let anybody talk all day. But I think it's naive to say that these kinds of things are not being said. And if you don't hear them, you can't react to them and you can't think about them. I think that that dialogue is good. And so within reason, I mean, we don't put up with trolls, people who use obscenities, people who say things that are right out of One America Now. But if somebody is thoughtful, even if it's part of the Republican playbook to call in, our people should. Bill of Economowoc calls into their stations all the time, and usually doesn't get through, and they give him short shift. I get it. But just remember, Democratic stations really believe in free speech, and we're not afraid of any ideas. There's nobody that can call this show and somehow say something historical that's not true, and it's going to get by me. This is not going to happen. So that's the situation there. Pizza Box Mike, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Pizza Box Mike?
Yeah, I have a different opinion when it comes to the whirlwind of ignorance and right-wing propaganda. I don't tolerate it. But, you know, a reminder, CJ, who's calling people to violence? Isn't the white, the Proud Boys and AON or OAN and all these clowns? And what other president had rallies where he told people to beat somebody up and he'd take care of it, you know, afterwards? I mean, just nonsense. See, I'm not going to let that alternative reality show up on my speech. Sorry.
Yeah, well, you know, you just raised a very good point, Pizza Box, and that is this. Until I'm blue in the face when CJ or others call, I will point out these facts. I will point out the fact. I mean, Ron Johnson is the guy that said he felt that the January 6th insurrection is just a bunch of fellas letting off steam. And he, quote, would have been concerned if it was Black Lives Matter. He just slipped the racial thing, and that's all. Point is, Black Lives Matter, the vast majority, and certainly ones in Wisconsin, were peaceful right after George Floyd. And the insurrection, five people got killed. Woman got trampled to death. A cop was almost kicked to death. Woman got shot. Cop had his eye gouged out. Cop had his finger ripped off. And Ron Johnson goes, bunch of guys letting off steam? No, that's not true. And the fact is that the Republicans, Trump incited the insurrection. Rudy Giuliani incited it. Mo Brooks, Don Trump Jr., Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan. Now Kevin McCarthy has come around. Watch the hearings today, guys. Everybody out there, watch the hearings. And you'll see it live and in Technicolor. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. The fog creeps in on little cat's feet. It's creeping into the Republican Party. The Republican Party has been a party of violence that advocates violence. And then when you get this nut that goes after Justice Kavanaugh, that should be punished and prosecuted, and that is intolerable. But they can't be permitted to hide behind that and say, therefore, everything we did on January 6th was okay. No. January 6th was intended to overthrow the government of the United States. January 6th was intended to stop the peaceful transition of power, to upend our democracy. And there will continue to be January 6th after every presidential election. It'll happen in 2024. It'll happen in 2028 unless we put a stop to it right now. That's why this commission is so important. It's important to get it to Merrick Garland with a prosecution recommendation. So, my show is open to different points of view, but they are not going to misstate and reinvent history. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.